There was a merchant in Baghdad who sent his servant to the marketplace to get provisions. And before too long, the servant comes back and he's panicked. He's white, he's pale, he's obviously terrified. And he says, "Master, just now I went down to the marketplace and was jostled by someone, and I turned and I looked and I saw death there. She looked at me and she gave me this threatening look. Now, please, give me your horse. Give me a horse. I need to get away from this place to avoid my fate. Give me your horse. I will go to Samarra, which is 100 miles away. I'll go to Samarra. Death will not find me there." So the master lends the servant his horse. He jumps on the horse, digs the spurs into the flanks. The horse takes off to Samarra. Then the merchant is sitting there, and he gets kind of angry. And he's going to go down and confront death in the marketplace. So he goes down to the marketplace, finds death, sees her and says, "Hey, why did you give my servant this threatening look?" And she says, "That was not a threatening look. No, it was only a look of surprise. I was so surprised to see him here in Baghdad, for I had an appointment with him tonight in Samarra." The inevitability of death. We all must die. Today, there's a movement called the Death Positive Movement. Maybe you've heard of it. But they embrace the thought of death. They encourage discussions about death. They have death cafes where they meet. If you go to deathcafe.com, one word, you can find out when they might be meeting around here, because they do meet occasionally, irregularly, around here at a place called Amy's Place on Sloan Street in Roswell. Death positives also participate in funerals, not funerals. It's spelled the same way, F-U-N, capital F-U-N, dash, E-R-A-L-S, funerals, that are celebratory, and they take place before one actually passes, complete with a casket, a green, like a cardboard casket, and people write joyful notes and things on them like you'd write on someone's cast. There is the We Croak app. It's an app, and it will remind you 5 times per day that we are all slated to die. The inevitability of our own death. We all must die. Or must we? People have been cryogenically frozen and hope that in the future, some technology will be developed such that they will be able to be revived and continue living. Or live once again, let me say, because these are people who have died. Writer Alison Arieff says that there's also a movement of people called longevity entrepreneurs who believe that death shouldn't be a problem. It should be something that we can eliminate. Instead of having a good death, why die at all? She writes, "Beneath the surface of this quest for eternal life seems to be an unwillingness on the part of its proponents to imagine a world without themselves in it." It reminds me of a great blues song by bluesman Albert King. "Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die." In the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu song of the Lord, we find the main character, Arjuna, on a battlefield. He's a member of the Kshatriya class, which is the warrior class, caste. It's his duty. But he's hesitant in this battle because across the battlefield are members of his own family. His cousins and friends are on the other side. Yet unbeknownst to him, his charioteer in this battle is none other than Lord Krishna, an avatar of the great god, one of the great gods in Hinduism, Vishnu. And Lord Krishna tries to show Arjuna the bigger picture that he's in, Lord Krishna says, "For that which is born, death is certain. And for that which dies, death or life is also certain. You should not grieve over the unavoidable. The Supreme Self, which dwells in all bodies, can never be slain. Weapons hurt it not, fire burns it not, water wets it not, wind will not wither it. Eternal, universal, unchanging, immovable, the Self is the same forever. Dwelling in all bodies, the Self can never be slain. Therefore, you should not grieve any creature." That's still troubling for many of us Westerners. Joseph Campbell, in his book, Myths to Live By, attempts to put this in context for us Western civilization. He says that in the East, existence, life, and death is often thought of as like a game that you play, or a play, like a performance, a play. And the point of this is that there's the play itself, and then there's the time before the play, and the time after the play, and that there were actually other plays before the play that you're in, and other plays after the play that you're in, and that they inform each other. And Joseph Campbell writes, "Since you came to birth in this world at this time, in this place, and with this particular destiny, it was this, indeed, that you wanted and required for your own ultimate illumination. That was a great, big, wonderful thing that you thereupon brought to pass. Not the you, of course, that you now suppose yourself to be, but the you that was already there before you were born, which even now, is keeping your heart beating and your lungs breathing and doing for you all those complicated things that are your life. You are not now to lose your nerve, go through with it, and play your own game all the way." And that is what Lord Krishna instructs Arjuna to do on that battlefield, to play the game that he's supposed to be playing. Maybe Shakespeare studied Eastern philosophy. Maybe he was onto something when he wrote, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women are merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts.